Blog Talk Radio.
Is this your first book, and what made you decide to write it?
Well, I've been an author for about 30 years, and it's my 14th book. And I decided to write because 20 years ago I was on the Oprah show for another book about relationships, and it did really well. And I got emails from people saying, we loved your book, but when we're upset, we need things that are even simpler. So I came up with the best communication strategies that take less than 10 seconds to do, because I figure most people can do something that takes 10 seconds. And you know, modern-day life is challenging, so we need these little tools, whether it be for business or relationships, that can get us from stressed out to back and connected and on target. And that's what I tried to do with More Love, Less Conflict.
Okay. Remind me to connect you with, I don't know if you're on Facebook, but shoot me an email. There is a speaker that I work with quite a bit on male-female communication, and I would love to introduce you to her, if you don't mind. And
sure.
I think they could have some synergistic opportunities. Her name is Kimmy Avery. And if you send me an instant message or shoot me an email and just ask for an introduction to Kimmy, then I will take care of that and facilitate it. I think that would be amazing if the two of you could put your heads together.
That would be great.
Okay? All
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to ask you, because I have this rule where anyone who – I'm a single man. I am openly gay. And I am a person who will not date someone who is pro-Trump.
Uh-huh.
What? How can I get around that? Because, you know, on the one hand, there's a part of me that sort of feels like you want to be open, you want to meet people, you don't want to keep a closed mind. But the other side of me that is like, given everything that we know, and this may not be popular to some of the listeners, but I'm going to say it. Given everything that we know that Trump has said, Trump has done, his administration has done or said, anyone who is still supporting Trump, I can't be bothered with. I don't even want to hear their side, their point of view anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How can
mm-hmm.
I keep an open mind?
Well, you know, it's the same in any couple's relationship, that sometimes your partner seems like they are thinking or believing or doing something that you don't find tolerable. And when that happens, we tend to go into our lizard brain that, you know, it's like, you're wrong, I'm right, and get out of here. And what we really need, if we want more love, less conflict, more understanding, is we need to ask questions as to why people feel the way they do, why they think the way they do. Now, I have this in my marriage where I am not a Trump supporter. My wife is. And she doesn't like Trump, but she likes some of the things he has done. And we have different ideas about that. It makes it possible, rather than thinking that she's an idiot or calling each other's names, to, I see that she feels that he's done good stuff for the economy, so she's supporting him, and I can understand that view. And when we get into a place where we're not understanding, I never have couples come into my office and say, we understand each other really well, that's why we want a divorce, you know? But the opposite's always true, that couples that don't understand each other get into trouble. And on a national level now, the Trump supporters don't understand the Trump haters. The Trump haters don't understand the Trump supporters. And there's no real communication happening. So the first step is to ask people questions, be interested, try to get them to be interested in your point of view, and then real communication can happen.
Okay. Excuse me. And that used to be me. Because I used to have these dialogues with these people who were, you know, they were diehard Trump supporters, and I would ask them, tell me what you like about him, and does it bother you that, you know, he constantly lies, he disrespects women, you know, he calls football players sons of bitches. He's been racist and homophobic. So tell me, how do you justify that with, you know, supporting him? And by and large, they say, oh, you know, he's doing really good things for the economy. And then, of course, I obviously bring up the Russian investigation. Well, they haven't found anything yet, and it's a witch hunt and that sort of thing. So they're sort of repeating the talking points over and over and over again, and it's exhausting. So my question is, I don't want to make this just about Trump, but I think this is such an important topic because this literally is dividing couples. How do you have that conversation where it's so divisive, where this person really doesn't see this man who sits in the White House for everything that he is? How do you look at that person the same way and not think that they're an idiot?
Yeah. Well, first thing, you have to realize that blame never works. You know, never once have I told my wife how wrong she is, where then she said, oh, yeah, now I see what you're talking about. Thank you for showing me the errors of my ways. That never happens. So we have to learn these skills that actually help us to get better at persuading somebody else. So there are persuasion skills that I teach in the More Love, Less Conflict book that actually can work. And my wife, who was a major supporter, now is not. But that took from me being able to listen and understand and give her empathy. For example, she was worried that, you know, our borders aren't safe. And when I understood, when I listened to her, she started to listen to me. And that's what happens in good couples, you know. And what happens in bad couples is everybody just blames and complains and no actual understanding or communication happens.
So you said something rather interesting. You said that she was a major Trump supporter and now she's not. So here's my question. What changed her mind? Because my thing is, I don't want to try and change someone's mind because I admire someone who sticks to their conviction. My deal is, given everything that you know, how can you still support someone like this? So my question
my question, underlying things is people's values. And some people value safety, some people value love, some people value adventure. My wife values love a lot. And I said, do you think that he has helped create more love in America by his actions and his words? And at that point, she had to admit that he had not. And I said, well, if he's going against your values, even if the economy is doing well, it's not a good thing because what you value is love, and by your own estimation, that he's not helping that. So when you see that we, like she and I both value love the most, that helps to create a connection. Whereas mostly what couples do is they focus on what are the differences. And I encourage couples to focus on what underlies them that is the same. The same thing, you know, the best predictor of how happy a couple is the number of appreciations they give to each other. Not whether they're of the same political party, not whether they have a lot of money, not whether they have kids. It's how many appreciations they give to each other. So that's good news because you can always do that, even if your partner is of a different political persuasion.
And it's the gentlemen that I have gone out with who are Trump supporters, generally we don't go out very long, but there, I do have a lot of friends who are Trump supporters, and I still like them, but I've had to sort of stop and say, okay, maybe this is a topic. If I want to maintain this friendship or this relationship, maybe this is a topic I need to stay away from. But it's hard to do that when Trump is in the news every day, generally doing something. I understand that. So let me ask you this. give me a few tips, or give our audience a few tips in terms of having better communication, particularly when there is conflict or when you come from, when you have different values. How can you bridge the gap? You sort of mentioned more listening is one. Is there anything else we need to know?
Yeah, there's 40 different methods in the More Love, Less Conflict book. So one of them is just to complete certain sentences. That's how simple some of the methods are. Like something I've noticed about you, Tony, that I appreciate. That if when you complete that sentence, that helps to create more connection. And when you have a lot of connection, then it's easier to have somebody actually listen to you when you have a difference of opinion. So like something I've noticed about you, Tony, that I appreciate is that you're a man of deep convictions and also deep curiosity by the questions that you're asking. And when I think these things and say them, that helps to facilitate more communication. Or I can say something that I've been afraid to tell you is, that will create more intimacy, because if you look at the word intimacy, the instructions are in it, into me see. So if you want more intimacy in your life, you become more vulnerable rather than more blamey or accusatory.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What do you want people to take away from reading your book?
Well, you know, most people have zero training in communication, and yet they do it every waking moment. You know, it's the number two predictor of your income is how well you communicate. The number one is how many years of school you went to. But that can take 10 years to make a lot of money going to school. It could take literally, you can improve your communication ability 100% in 30 minutes by knowing a few techniques. So I encourage people to learn some really simple communication methods that allow you to be a leader, that allow you to be persuasive, that allow you to have better relationships. And then you also end up being a better parent. And I can't think of anything that in an hour you can actually influence the entire rest of your life, because a large part of our life is how good are our relationships. And if people respect and listen to you, then you're going to make more money and you're going to have more love in your life. And I think those are two pretty important things.
Absolutely. So a couple of things hit me. Are you also, I know you're an author, but are you also a public speaker?
Yeah, I do professional speaking at Fortune 500 companies all the time, Microsoft, Google, you know, all these different places. And that's part of good communication, how you engage an audience and how you bring them to new information.
The reason why I ask is that, and I don't know if you heard at the top of the show, I was discussing speaking at Oracle for the first time earlier this week. And something that sort of hit me is that you would be really, really perfect to speak at some of the women's organizations at some of the larger corporations like Microsoft, where they usually have a leadership group, women's leadership group. And that's a really hot topic. I think you would be perfect in terms of speaking to that audience. I don't know if you already are, but if you're not, you may want to look into that, because I think they would really welcome you. So just FYI. Okay.
That's a good tip. I appreciate
tell everybody
that.
My pleasure. Tell everybody where they can get copies of your book. If you want to make an offer, feel free to do so.
Sure. Well, I have a website, morelovelessconflict.com, and they can read the first chapter for free, or they can download what's called the 12 Questions of Instant Intimacy for free. These are 12 questions that always lead to a deep conversation. And, of course, they can buy the book there as well. And that's the best way to reach me and the easiest way. I also have a website, findinghappiness.com.
All right, sounds good. Do you have any events or speaking events that are coming up?
I have a couple, but not until the first of the year. One in Mexico that I'm doing, and I just did one at Google but nothing coming up for the next couple months, as a matter of fact. It's my slow season. I tend to take off around January or February.
Okay. So if you're interested, as you probably know, I book over 400 speakers on my stages. So if that's something you're interested in, shoot me an email and let me know. I do a male-female virtual summit, which has become really popular, and a number of other events. So just shoot me an email and remind me. But definitely email me about Kimmy Avery, because I really think the two of you should connect and maybe do a virtual summit of your own. Okay?
That sounds great, Tony. I really appreciate that. And any way I can be of help, that's the way good relationships and good business happens, by us helping each other.
Absolutely. And I'll certainly be reaching out to you and emailing you as well. Listen, we have another guest coming on, but can you hang out a little bit, or do you have to go?
I actually have to go. I'm catching a plane to a seminar that I am giving, so I do have to leave in about 10 minutes.
Not a problem. Listen, thank you so much. Tell everyone once again where they can reach you if they want to make a connection with you.
Sure, either my website, findinghappiness.com, or morelovelessconflict.com. And they both have a lot of free stuff, a lot of information. I, you know, have 14 books, and I speak on 10 different topics. So, and there's a lot of free downloads on them, so they could have a good time looking through that.
All right, sounds good. Jonathan Robinson, will you come back and talk to us again in the future?
Absolutely, I'd love to.
All right, sounds good. Thanks again. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will be right back.
Planning an event can be difficult. With all the choices, it can be overwhelming. Do you use a big, expensive hotel conference center? Do you use an eating establishment that doesn't have the equipment you need on site to make your event successful? Are you on a tight budget? Then the space you're looking for is MeetingSpaceForYou.com for the Beacon Center, Las Vegas' premier meeting and conference center. At the Beacon Center, we have a simple put-it-back-the-way-you-found-it structure that will save you money on your next event. At the Beacon Center, we have over 1,300 square feet of space that makes it perfect for your next business presentation, family gathering, wedding and reception, conference, seminar, bridal or baby showers. Anytime you need the space, we have it. But at the Beacon Center, we are more than just space. We have comfortable padded chairs, a 65-inch high-resolution television, high-speed Wi-Fi, and so much more, making the Beacon Center the perfect place for your next event. Book your next event today at MeetingSpaceForYou.com. That's MeetingSpaceForYou.com for the Beacon Center, just minutes from the Strip. The Beacon Center, the space you're looking for.
Connection, love, and communication. We all have values for these words, but very few of us put them into practice. My name is Corey Johnson, and I'm a youth communication coach that works with teens and their families. You can learn more about me at CoreyJohnsonSpeaker.com. Now, no matter your age, profession, or experiences, all of us can remember a time when we felt connected, loved, and understood by our family members. At 17, I was told that I would be kicked out of my family home unless I changed. So, the next day, I signed up my family for family counseling. Yeah, my parents and my siblings for a couple months of counseling. Because I believe for me to change, we would all have to go back to understanding each other. My work with youth and their families is done through private coaching, workshops, and speaking engagements at local schools. If your child or someone you know's child is struggling with depression, communication, or expressing themselves, contact me at CoreyJohnsonSpeaker.com. Now, if your child is worried about fitting into a social group, or if you personally are worried about connecting with your child or making sure they stay connected to you, contact me, CoreyJohnsonSpeaker.com. That's CoHNSON speaker, SPEAKER.com. Corey Johnson Speaker is how you can reach me. I look forward to connecting with you and servicing your family and helping out however I can, because all of us know what it felt like to feel loved, connected, and understood. It's now time that we start to feel like that every day. Peace and love. Take care.
Most of us experience 200 chemicals before we get to the breakfast table. Want to kick chemicals to the curb? Start with the largest organ of your body, your skin. From the banks of the Rogue River in Michigan, Flow Soap Studio has created a chemical-free soap that your body will love. Our soap is made with botanical oils, natural colors, and scented with pure essential oils. It's vegan and never tested on animals. That means no tallow from large factory slaughterhouses, no GMO oils, detergents, perfumes, or harsh sulfates. Not a single ingredient is created in a laboratory, so it's safe for the environment and amazing for your skin. Find us on Facebook at Flow Soap Studio or visit flowsoapstudio.com today and get free shipping. That's Flow, F-L-O-W, soapstudio.com.
Okay, and we are back, and my next guest is Raja Seawright, who is a recording artist and rapper, and this is his first time on the show. Raja, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tony. Yep, I'm right.
Thanks so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. Now, I don't have a clip of your latest hit, but I understand, and I'm going to your website now, but I understand that you, a local radio station, just played your music for the first time. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. 98 Rock is the main rock station out here in Sacramento, California. So they have a show that they showcase the local talent, because we have so much talent here in the Sacramento area. So, yeah, they played 10 songs, local artists, and I was one of those 10 that they played. They played a song called Keep Me Out.
Keep Me Out. And I am on your website now, and so I'm going to play a little sample just to give the listeners sort of an idea of who you are and what you do. So hopefully this will – here we go.
Nice. Actually, I've been super busy this year. That's my second album that I put out this year, and I've also put out 3 EPs this year in calendar year 2018, and I've dropped a handful of singles this year as well.
All right, and so
that's like my third album.
Say again?
That's actually, so that song out there is off of my latest album called Charger, and Charger is basically my third album.
So there are, and I run into a lot of musicians here in the Bay Area. We have a vibrant music scene of indie musicians. Talk to me a little bit about your journey, because when did you know that you wanted to do this? When did you know, this is the path that I'm on, and I'm going to keep going till I get there? And talk to me a little bit about what you've gone through in order to get to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm honored to be on the show, so thank you for that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a pretty interesting question. I think I knew pretty early on that music had just such a power and a magic unlike any other form of media. And I remember being that kid where all the other kids would come over to my house, and my mom would like make these really cool, like simple sandwich lunches. And there was always music in the background. And that would be something that would happen during the day. And then at night, I always remember my parents putting plastic on the furniture and having the adults come over, and music was always a big part of those house parties. And I just remember thinking, man, childhood kind of sucks, but all my good memories were always surrounding an occasion where there was music in the background. So as I got a little bit older and I was able to establish my own musical tastes, I really started getting into heavy metal music and new wave music and hip hop. And I knew that I always wanted to have music in my life, but it wasn't until I had a friend who was in a recording studio. He was known as the Young Casanova, and he invited me into the recording studio. And immediately from that point on, I was like, okay, I want to create music. I don't want to just listen to it. I actually want to make music so that I can actually, you know, impact other people's lives with the sound.
I love that. So is this, are you putting out your own music independently, or do you, are you on a label now, or how did that work?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm an independent artist. So I wear every single hat. I'm the label, I'm the manager, I'm the artist.
What's been the biggest challenge for you as someone who has self-published all of his books? For me, and this was at a time when self-publication was sort of frowned upon, but now everybody does it. What's been the biggest challenge for you in terms of getting the word out, having radio stations play your music, which is a huge, huge deal? What's been the biggest challenge for you?
Honestly, it's marketing and promotion. You know, take it outside of the music industry. Anytime you have a product that you're basically kind of like a mom and pop independent situation, I think the hardest part is actually getting people to pay attention to what you do and just knowing that you actually even exist. So for me, marketing and promotion has definitely been the most challenging aspect.
Okay. What do you want people to know about your music? I have to admit, and when we were on, his name escapes me right now, Jim Chong's radio show together, one of the things I mentioned was that I am not a huge rap fan. There's some rap really like your music. That's the reason why I invited you to come on. What do you want people to take away from your music?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Tony, at the end of the day, my story is about a guy who was basically a loner, kind of never really fit in, but I always wanted to actually make music and have an impact on the world. And for me, like, music is definitely my way to get that message out there. And so I just never gave up, you know. And so ultimately, I try to inspire people with the music. I try to encourage people with the music. And I just try to make people feel like if they're feeling down or they can't accomplish anything, like, I want to be that person that they look to as someone who came from dirt, you know, and came from nothing and actually made something out of nothing. So just, I want to inspire people at the end of the day. Yeah.
Tell everyone where they can reach out to you, where they can get copies of your CD. If you've got any engagements that are coming up, feel free to plug away.
Oh, nice. I appreciate it. So I'm doing an event called Chalk It Up here in Sacramento, California. It's actually the 28th annual Chalk It Up Festival. It's over Labor Day weekend. It's 3 days, so it's September 1st through September 3rd. And the cool thing about this particular event is all the proceeds go to funding children's art. So it's a fundraiser. And basically what Chalk It Up is they take over a park for 3 days. The perimeter of the park has a sidewalk all the way around it. Chalk It Up, the organizers, they sell squares, and then when they sell out of each square that goes around the park, artists come in, and only with colored chalk they have to create art from the first day to the end of the day. And by the time that this event gets to the third day, you walk around this park, and not only are you surrounded by all the great bands and the the great food trucks, but you're surrounded by literally live art. So I'm doing that on September 1st with my band, Charm the Riot. We go on from 3 to 3:45. I'm also doing a record release party at a place called Momo's Lounge, again in Sacramento, which is above Harlow's. I'm doing that with a couple of my fellow artists, Merc and Ransom. And then I'm also doing a show at Old Ironsides on November 24th, again here in Sacramento. And that'll be with the Black Yacht Club and Matthew J. So that's what I have going on live-wise. And then as far as being able to find me, I'm pretty much a digital artist, meaning I don't really put out physical CDs anymore. I just do everything online. But I'm everywhere. So I'm on YouTube, Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music. I'm everywhere. So if you just Google That Kid Raja, THATKIDRAJA, I'm real easy to find.
All right. And Kid Raja, we're going to play a small snippet of another song on this CD. I call them CDs. I don't know what you kids call them now, but I call them CDs.
We call them albums, man. Albums.
Well, we called them albums in my day, and then it's like, no, it's not albums anymore. It's CDs, and now it's not CDs. It's whatever it is. So will you come back to the in the near future?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
All right, sounds good. Kid Raja, thank you so much for calling in. Here's a little snippet. I'll read you out, serious. I'm so serious. I'm serious.
This is Inez, your audacious living and confidence coach with InezBracy.com. Can you feel the change in the air, the change that's telling you that it's time for you to do something different with your life, time to have the transformation to start living your dreams the way you desire? This transformation is all about you. Do you sometimes feel that you don't matter because you're not doing the things that your soul and your heart is crying out for? Then if this is you, it is time to take action. It is time to take action to get clear about your future, to get some strategies to assist you in having the dream lifestyle that you desire. And it's time for you to feel the accomplishment that feels so good when you know you're really on your path. Connect with me at InezBracy.com. Click on my calendar and schedule your time to chat with me. I know that you are desiring a change and you'd like a little help. You just don't know how to get there. Be sure to schedule at InezBracy.com, schedule on my calendar, so that you will have the chat to get you started on creating that life that you know you deserve, desire, and definitely want. I am Inez, your audacious living and confidence coach.
Okay, and my final guest for today is Angie Williams, who's running for the 1st Congressional District of Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. If I am, I'm sure she'll correct me. Angie and I actually met through a mutual colleague many, many, many years ago, and this is the first time on our show. So, Angie, are you there? Welcome to the show.
I am here. Thank you for having me, Tony.
Thanks so much for calling in. And listen, congratulations. It's been a few years since you and I have spoken. Congratulations.
Yes.
Did I get that right, 1st Congressional District of Virginia?
Yes, sir. It's
all
the
right.
First district.
Wonderful.
Of the country.
That is phenomenal. So here's what I got to ask you, because it's like I said, it's been a few years. What made you decide to run for Congress?
Well, I live in a district where my congressman has been absent from our presence. We know that he fills the seat, but he has not been here for anyone in this district. He has focused all his attention on corporations and shipbuilding. But yet, my district, I live in the northern neck of Virginia. We haven't seen any growth or progress in literally 11 years. So it was time for a leader to step up, and I figured, hey, I'm a leader. I'm ready to take us up the Capitol Hill and clean house. So, yes, it was time.
And I just want to congratulate you because we are seeing more women and more women of color than ever who are running for congressional seats. And do you think Donald Trump or this administration has had anything to do with that?
For many women, yes. For me, I was going to run for Congress, and regardless of who was going to be president, I felt that, like some people ask me all the time, am I running because of Trump? Actually, I'm not. I'm running because, like I said, Rob Whitman wasn't doing his job. But a lot of women have stepped up because of Donald Trump, and they are fed up and frustrated with the lack of true leadership on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm. So what's your message to your constituents? What do you want people to know about you and what you're running on?
Well, I'm running on three major platforms that affect people, not corporations. I'm focused on making sure that people and small businesses thrive in the district so we can build a district that is viable. I'm focused on economy, making sure that we have a strong economy that can serve a strong workforce, accessibility to technology, and you ready for this? Broadband, and even cell phone service. I'm working so that families can have that hand up so that we can do things that you do in the major cities. You know, this district spans from Prince William County down to James City, Virginia, which is basically Williamsburg, and it comprises of 20 counties, well, 19 counties in one city, which is Fredericksburg City. But the problem is we aren't recognized. So having that economy helps us help ourselves. And my second platform is definitely healthcare. In my district, we need access to affordable health care. We need health care facilities. We need transportation to get there. So I want to make sure that we fight for Medicare for All with dental and vision and make sure that we are leading the way and not following. So, you know, second point to my health care is my healthcare platform is I want to make sure while we have Medicare for All that we also focus on our veterans care and make sure that we have VA care rolled in with Medicare so that soldiers can go to VA when they need specialized care but go anywhere when they need just basic physicals. It shouldn't be that you have to drive an hour, 2 hours to get to a VA center. And lastly, I have to invest in my communities and my hometown heroes, and one of my first initiatives will be the Invest Initiative, which helps enlisted military, veterans, retired military, first responders, and educators. All of these help build the economy, small businesses, and help families grow, not only in stature, but that hand up so they don't have to depend on anyone.
So let me ask you a question
about the Invest Initiative.
Well, we'll come back to that. But let me ask you a question because you said a couple of things that sort of, you know, sent up a flag, not a red one, but just a flag. The impression that I'm getting, because your opponent apparently hasn't done anything in terms of helping the district grow. And you want more broadband, more transportation. You want to help veterans administration, from what I understand, is a mess. Give us sort of an impression of what's not happening, because the impression that I'm getting based on just talking with you is that there's really no progress. It's sort of like the district is really behind the rest of America. Does that sound like a fair assessment or no?
I would say yes, half the district is. This district spans a huge area. We have over half a million acres of farmland, 6,000 acres of coastline, okay? We have a strong agricultural and aquacultural space. But this is what I mean by how we haven't grown. Right now, we know for a fact that we have, in Virginia, I'm trying to be more specific with you because this is where people,
sure,
where people don't know. In this district, we have 3 military bases. Yet, we have, sadly, 7% of our enlisted and retirees and veterans who are on food stamps. And understand, I said enlisted military. We have teachers and first responders working 2 jobs. Some teachers I know working 2 and 3 jobs. We have a situation where teachers have to live in cohabited housing with other teachers because they can't afford housing in the areas they teach in. So what I don't understand is how can someone say he's a leader and he's for the people not be there to make sure that communities like King George and Caroline County and Matthews actually can grow. A lot of these teachers, they're from here, but it's not like they stay here. They leave for better opportunity. Now, without broadband, we can't even keep our people here who are highly technological, who want to be here in the community. I am lucky. I live right on the outskirts where we have viable broadband, but even that in some communities right here in my town of King George is not viable. We have terrible cell phone service throughout the entire district. Schools need it.
I got to be honest with you. I'm sitting here with my mouth open. I am shocked, and I guess my question is, why don't we know about this? Why aren't we hearing about this? Why isn't this a national discussion? Because I can't even imagine veterans, and I'm getting angry, I got to be honest with you, because when I hear, I'm not a veteran, but I know a number of them, and the fact that veterans are on food stamps is just unacceptable. I don't get it.
He doesn't get it. I'm in touch with this neighborhood because this is where my family's from. I'll give you some things that really, really pushed this campaign during the primary is the fact, yes, you know, I'm championing for rural broadband because, you know, for many reasons, one of which we have to increase small business down here to get greater connectivity. We're disconnected from the world down here. If you
want
to draw more talent away from the highly populated areas up north, you need to have amenities and the talent that the talent requires. He just started saying this. He had 11 years. The fact that, you know, we are trying, and we have been trying to grow small businesses throughout this area for a long time, yet we know what's going to happen. If you keep suppressing the area that wants to grow, the people who are in those areas, they leave. So if it means us getting greater ability to connect, It means that we have newer prospective employers. That means we keep employees. Small businesses can afford to fly in, you know, fly in a straight way. Tony, I guess so. I'm so passionate about this because, you know, I have six daughters. My daughters feel that they can't and they won't have a chance here because even with their abilities, with the lack of technology that we have here, there's no way they can make the money they feel they should be making or live in the homes they should be living in. I'm going to tell you this. Have you ever driven anywhere on the West Coast and gotten lost because there are no cell phone towers so that you can have GPS?
No,
I've done
that.
I've actually done that in my own, 2 hours from my house. So we have major issues.
Let me ask you a question because, and you and I can have a discussion about this off the air. What does your community need in the way of economic development? Would a summit or a workshop on small business be helpful? Because, you know, I produce a number of events, and I book speakers and that sort of thing. And, you know, my passion is helping small business owners make more money.
Yes.
So I guess my question is, what does your community need in order for it to grow that? Because if we wait on Congress in Washington to do it, it'll never get done. But is there something that I can help with where maybe we do a small business summit or small business week or something like that where, you know, we teach people how to make more money and generate more revenue? Is that something that you need? Tell me what your community needs.
So what we need down here, we need to expand educational opportunities and skill training, like provide like vocational tracks. Because a lot of students now need it as early as middle school. By the time the kids are in high school here, they don't have that same opportunity as a child who lives in Northern Virginia. But if we offer them apprenticeships right now with small businesses and help them learn the skill sets of construction workers or technology companies, we grow a generation right here of students who want to thrive in our community. I'll give you a great example. My husband, Glenn, he owns a handyman company. He actually hires high school students to come out and learn a trade. And by doing this, those students actually have something to look forward to graduating because not every child wants to go to college. Not every child wants to go into technology. Some want to work with their hands. I believe that if we can, like what my husband is doing with a group, they are actually starting up in the next month, is they're starting a small business alliance down here in the Northern Neck and in the Middle Peninsula because people, again, want a hand up. Not only that, with all of this, just talking about the business aspect, we have a major health care issue down here. Down here, employers can't afford to pay, you know, a higher wage. They can't afford to pay for half of the medical care for their employees. Down here in the Northern Neck, Middle Peninsula, even once you get down here, now that's just talking about in this area, Prince William County, Stafford, Spotsylvania, Caroline County, even James City and Hanover all have healthcare systems that are thriving. In the Northern Neck, Middle Peninsula, you would be lucky to find an urgent care open after 5 o'clock on a weekend. And if you need to see a doctor, you may have one doctor's office in the entire county that you live in. So for employers, if they have employees who get hurt, they've lost that employee for a day, a week. You don't. We just don't know. Everything ties in together. I've often said that my platform, the economy, healthcare, investing in our community, all tie in together because we need everything to work. We need under the economy for people to have jobs that pay them fair wages, but we also need small businesses so that we can grow the economy to pay small wages, I mean, to pay viable wages and have health care in our area. So it's a hand in hand. I would tell you, I would love for someone to come down here and help us because the thing that is that drove me to run for Congress is, yes, you get a Walmart, but you close all the mom-and-pop shops. We had a hurricane with no rain. I swear to you, that's what it was, Tony. And it took us almost a month and a half to get a roofer to come down to our neighborhood and service the 44 houses that needed roof work. Because
Let me ask you a question before I let you go, because we are running out of time. What I'll do is I'm going to send you an email or send your assistant an email to, because I've got a couple of ideas that may be viable that you can sort of institute almost immediately. I don't know the situation. Some of the ideas may work or may not for your area. But here's my other question. Is there a small business administration in your area, and if so, have you reached out to them for help in terms of teaching workshops, that sort of thing?
I'm going to say this as blunt as I can. Nope, not one. Peninsula, no. In Prince William County, the larger counties, yes. And I'll tell you, how we fix this is, yes, you and I work together, but we get me elected. We need people to go to my website, VanjieForCongress.com, sign up, volunteer, contribute, because one reason why I know that this community is suffering the way we are is because when you allow a corporation to buy you as a congressman, you fail to realize that the people and the small businesses that you are there to support are the ones that get ignored. And I'm running for Congress because small businesses and people, and I they're intertwined because most small businesses are run by families. That's what America's about. And I need people's support because this campaign, Tony, has not taken one corporate dollar. This is a people-funded campaign and a small business-funded campaign because the people who are funding us want to see change and want to see growth. And hearing me talk to you and making a point that we're going to get together and do something, that's the beginning to a whole new district. And we're going to make the first district a model for the rest of the country.
I love it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to email you the link for this show so that you can send this out to your constituents so that they know exactly who you are, what you do, those who haven't made up their minds yet, to get the word out. Because this is one of the reasons why I like doing the show is that it's a teachable moment. It's an opportunity for you to share your expertise and tell the people in your community who you are, what you do, and why you want to work for them and why they should vote for you. I am loving what I'm hearing. So that's number one. You'll get something from me over the weekend. Number two, I'm going to email you with some ideas, and let's see what we can do in terms of working together, me from this end, you from that end. I don't know how much time and energy I can put into it, but let's start a conversation and let's make some stuff happen.
Yes, and definitely if anyone, we have several groups that we've formed, kind of like forum-type groups that we get together and we discuss issues of the district, and one is small business. And I would love if I can get you on the phone just to have you on a conference call with the group so that they can hear hear what's going on. And understand, I'll tell you and I'll tell anybody, I'm not running to be the liberal congresswoman. I'm not running to be the conservative congresswoman. I'm running to be the people's congresswoman because we, the people, need change. And it starts in 2018.
I love it. And for those of you who are listening, go to AngieForCongress.com. That's on our website. I'm going to send you, as I said, the link to this particular show so that you can forward it to your people and have people get out and vote for you. I'm loving what I'm hearing. I'm still shocked to hear to hear no brought in certain areas. That's just unacceptable. And what's not happening, for the veterans and people working two and three jobs, that's really unacceptable. So you have my support, and I am going to do what little I can to support you. So
thank
you so much for being on the show. Will you come back
Keep
and tell
having
us
me, Tony.
What's Will you come back and tell us what's going on, keep us updated, that sort of thing? I think this is really important. Will you come back and talk
yes,
to us
definitely.
Again?
Yes, definitely.
All right, sounds
yes.
good. And, yes, anytime you want me to jump on a phone call with you, I am happy to do that.
Oh, I thank you so much. The community thanks you because it's time for America to work together.
My pleasure. Listen, you have a wonderful weekend, and you'll be hearing from me no later than Monday.
Thank you. Have a great day,
all
everyone.
Right. Okay, and that is that's really crazy what's going on in that area. But I suspect there are a lot of areas throughout the country that are falling by the wayside because the money isn't there. The people who are going to Congress to represent those districts are not really working for the people. And so I'm happy to hear that a newcomer is really sort of fired up enough to make some stuff happen. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, and then I'll have some final thoughts.
How would you feel if each of us came with a manual? Not a how-to manual, but a who-are-you manual. Think about this for a minute. In other words, what would it mean to you to be able to understand your child's behaviors? Hi, my name is Paige Olson. As I grew up, I felt misunderstood, and I didn't even understand myself. Over 30 years ago, I started riding and working with horses. Early on, I started to see their behaviors communicating their unique individual personalities as well as their emotional well-being in the moment. At the birth of my first child over 25 years ago, I made him one promise: to seek to understand him first. I made the same promise to my other child at her birth. Seeking to understand the messages and their behaviors created the foundation for our parent-child relationships that allowed each child to give me permission to raise them. Using a combination of intuitive gifts, investigative skills, and astute behavior observations to see what parents did not yet see, I have spent the last 20-plus years mentoring children as well as their parents, transforming their parent-child relationship. It is in our behaviors where we find the messages that are the foundation for the manual that was never written. If you have children between the ages of birth and five, if you're willing to slow down, if you're open to new perspectives, if you're ready to make observations and ask questions starting with, why is my child, not how can I get my child to, I can help you discover your child's unique individual biological wiring, the greatest gift you can pass on to your child as they grow up. A good place to start is to really understand you. Your one half of this relationship and your past experiences and beliefs matter. If you have children under the age of five, here's your first step. Go to my website, theolsonmethod.com. That's Olson, as in O-L-S-O-N. Take the parenting struggle assessment and do the core beliefs exercise. As you do these exercises, write down your answers so you can look over them later and become conscientiously aware of your actions, beliefs, and behaviors. If you'd like a free 30-minute conversation with me to discuss the most frustrating or stressful behavior you're experiencing from your child, go to the contact area of my website, theolsonmethod.com, and send me a request for a free Discover Your Child conversation. I look forward to talking to you in the near future.
Okay, so that is our show. I want to thank all of our guests, Jonathan Robinson, Vanjie Williams, Kid Raja, he actually sent me a message and said it's at Kid Raja. So just correcting myself. I will be on hiatus for a few weeks. As I said, I'm going to be in Dallas next week for my Women of Influence event. But I will be back on September 7th after Labor Day to with all new guests. I'm really excited. Deborah Dupree is coming on and a number of new hosts, so it should be really, really fantastic. Until then, have a wonderful weekend. Happy Labor Day to everyone. Please be safe. And we're going to go out with a little bit more at Kid Raja. And have a wonderful weekend.
Hated in the halls of the hated ride next to the redundant, the drunk and overrated. Y'all ain't done, y'all just front like a